President Bush, I'm a professional firefighter here in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Thank you, sir.
And back during 9/11, I lost over 300 of my brothers in New York, and I was glad that you were our president at that time and took the fight to the terrorists. But as I see, you said earlier about the guy in Afghanistan that is going to convert to Christianity, he may get killed over there for doing that. Do you have an army of sociologists to go over there and change that country, or are you hoping that in a couple decades that we can change the mindset over there?
All right, that was a question from the audience thrown to the president yesterday in Wheeling, West Virginia. I'm so glad he asked it, because a lot of us are very, very concerned about the story of Abdul Rahman. He is a man who converted to Christianity 16 years ago. This didn't just happen, folks. The only reason it came to light is this man who did convert while he was working for a Christian aid organization in Pakistan has just now come to light because there has been a custody battle over his two children. So basically, the family ratted on him and basically took his case to the judges. And therein lies the challenge, because the judges could hand out the death sentence. Now, that's going to be a problem, not only for Mr. Rahman, but for a lot of other Christians. Do you know that there were only 17 known evangelical Christians in the country before Al-Qaeda attacked the U.S.? Today, the number of Afghan Christians is in the thousands, and it's growing quickly. And church leaders say that Afghan Muslims are open to hearing the gospel message like never before. I have been told that there are dozens of baptisms that occur every week. People are snatching up Bibles and other Christian books just as fast as they can. And the Jesus film put out by Campus Crusade for Christ has even been shown on television in one city. Oops, and then the police came and shut down the entire TV station. So one of the needs in that particular part of the world is to raise church leadership, so when these people make a decision to become a Christian, they have someone who can train them and grow them and teach them. So Mr. Rahman's story is not in isolation. So what's the U.S. response going to be? Here's in part what the president said.
I appreciate the question. It's a very legitimate question. We have got influence in Afghanistan, and we are going to use it to remind them that there are universal values. It is deeply troubling that a country we helped liberate would hold a person to account because they chose a particular religion over another. And so we will make our part of the messaging just happened here in Wheeling. I want to thank you for that question. No, I think it's we can solve this problem by working closely with the government that we've got contacts with, and we'll deal with this issue diplomatically and remind people that there is something as universal as being able to choose religions. Thank you for the question. I understand your concerns. I share the same concerns.
That's yesterday, Wheeling, West Virginia. And by the way, Italy and Germany have already lodged strong protests, but up to yesterday's remarks by the president, the U.S. State Department has been rather, well, cool on this subject. Joining us to talk about it now is terrorism expert Dr. Harvey Kushner. He's a contributing editor of FamilySecurityMatters.org. Could I tell you that again so you can bookmark it and go there on a regular basis? FamilySecurityMatters.org. But he is also the author of Holy War on the Home Front. Dr. Kushner, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure, Nat.
Thank you so much. I'm concerned because the underpinning, obviously, of the Afghanistan law is Sharia law, which, by the way, also happens to be the underpinning of the Palestinian constitution. Why should that concern us, those of us who really believe in open governments and free democracy?
Well, it should concern us, Janet. This is probably the best kept secret as we're in there trying to liberate these countries, is that Christians are being persecuted and slaughtered as we speak. And this is not just in Afghanistan, but it's in Pakistan, it's in India, it's certainly in Egypt with Coptic Christians, it's throughout the Middle East, it's throughout the Islamic world. And I feel very horrible for this individual, but it's good that at least this message is now being brought forth to the American public to understand, and I think it's important to the American media to keep this on the front page. And, you know, the president gave lip service to the gentleman's remark, the firefighter's remark, but it's astounding that this hasn't come to the forefront before. Realize that Sharia and Islam in itself is not very tolerant of other religions. Mostly because they don't have a great presence in their society, but when in fact they do, they're not tolerant. And it's really disturbing that the United States, and I can make this assumption, Jan, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, that a good proportion of the young men and women who gave their blood and life are Christians and serve in that land, and oftentimes are persecuted. Certainly in Saudi Arabia, you have the religious police, and you're not allowed to have a Bible. You're not allowed to practice Christianity. I think this is a horrible situation, and I think, Janet, I'm not surprised by this, because I've said before, and I think I've said it on your program
yes.
a few times, that the president has not stated who we're at war with. We're at war, really, with militant Islam. And there is a cultural divide. We're not at war with terrorism. We're not at war with the Irish Republican Army.
That's right.
And you know, these events are occurring all too frequently. I mean, if you just go back recently to what happened in Denmark and the reaction in the Islamic world about that and the sacking of embassies, the slaughter of innocents, says that there is a problem within that region of the world and also within the religious leaders who don't step up to the plate to condemn this horrific, horrific action.
Dr. Cushion, you've just done something marvelously important, and that is you connected the dots, and I thank you for doing that. And I'm glad that you brought up the Danish cartoon. So you get this worldwide response, which, by the way, speaks to the connectedness ideologically, doesn't
it? Oh, it is. It is.
And that should, boy, I hope America's paying attention. It's a Danish cartoon, and you have people acting up and acting out in Indonesia. Does that tell you how quickly they can get forces gathered together?
Well, that's correct. And I remember talking about this yesterday. I've been talking about it the last week, and some commentators as well. It's only a small minority. Nonsense, Janet. It's not a small minority. It's worldwide. Certainly it's orchestrated, but you don't see mainstream Muslims really stepping up in droves to stop this outrageous behavior. And our own media is at fault. If you take supposedly the bastion of free press, the New York Times would not publish the cartoon. They said words would describe it. Words would describe the fact that Muhammad, the prophet, is wearing a turban shaped like a bomb. But yet they saw fit to report in detail and with pictures when the Virgin Mary was bedecked in feces and
That's
urine.
Right.
And that was an outrageous, but you didn't see hordes of Christians burning and sacking embassies in Islamic world. I mean, there's a double standard, Janet, and it's very dangerous. And the American people, I think, are going to be upset, understanding we liberate a society,
mm-hmm.
but we put in place a government that is just as reactionary as the Taliban was to tolerance.
Exactly, exactly. And that takes me to, I think, the crucial part of this discussion. We did liberate them. We did give them the opportunity
Absolutely.
To practice this art of self-governance. And we've always said we don't expect nor would we want you to make a mini America. You're going to have to govern the way you see fit. But the president said something yesterday, and I think common sense tells us that the cornerstone of any free society has to be free expression and freedom of worship. So what weight can we bring to bear? Apparently liberating them wasn't enough. How can we influence to make sure that people don't get killed for their beliefs?
Well, the fireman who said, "Are we going to send armies of sociologists
yes.
there?" I mean, tongue in cheek. I mean, that's what she. It's certainly going to be a difficult experiment, and I know both of us wish those societies well, and we would only hope that they would march on to tolerance and religious freedom. But you know, Janet, I think there needs to be more discussions of the basic underpinnings of our Judeo-Christian background, of redemption, of good news, as opposed to the constant wording of jihad, the
mm-hmm.
constant wording of, battling back militarily if somebody says something about your religion. You don't see that. We don't behave that way. And this really concerns me, Janet. I've said it all along. I mean, I think we can win a war when it comes to the battlefield. But when it comes to dealing with political correctness and not allowing us to pinpoint what the issues are, I think that's the danger. But you know what? I think that this should be something that 24/7 is in the media and the press, and people should be discussing this, because this shows the value. If you can have Sharia law dictate even the possibility that this individual could be executed for converting to Christianity, I think speaks reams about that region of the world and what the future might look like.
Exactly. And, boy, it sure gives us pause, doesn't it? Because if this isn't the cornerstone, then we've got some major issues here.
Well, you know, this isn't a judge passing sentence on somebody who saw fit to strap himself with 40 pounds of explosives and blow up innocent women and children. This is a man who's found his way, has seen the light, has converted, and mind you, not by force, by his own choice, and he's risked death. I mean, this is barbaric. I mean, and certainly we had Islamic groups in this country step up to the plate, but quite frankly, too little, too late. There's not enough outcry. This is an orchestrated jihad against Western civilization, Western society. And I think there needs to be more discussion of this. And I think certainly, I mean, where's Hollywood's stance on this?
That's right. Well, Susan Sarandon's going to play Cindy Sheehan. I guess that's Hollywood's stance on this.
Exactly. I wonder who's going to is Sheehan going to play the actor going to play the judge in this film? I mean, you know, maybe Yale University will take him in, you know, in the Department of Religious Tolerance, you know.
Unbelievable. Dr. Kushner, you said something important as well, and that is you talked about how important it is for us to keep talking about it in the press here. I'm wondering, and this goes to your book, Holy War on the Home Front, if when we talk about it openly, unashamedly, boldly, what we are saying to the jihadists in our midst, and they are here, is that we will not tolerate this. And isn't that an important message to send them?
Oh, I think it absolutely is. And I think it's absolutely to embarrass them, to embarrass that barbaric type of behavior. Because on one hand, you can't say we're a religion in peace, and the president can't continue to say, well, a great religion was hijacked, when the very underpinnings of that religion worldwide isn't stepping up and condemning this and stopping this type of activity.
Yeah, the embarrassment factor. I like that a lot. Dr. Kushner, where can we get your book, Holy War on the Home Front?
Certainly in bookstores, but all of those who want a quick read and a deep discount, certainly Amazon.com.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And also, I want to get people to FamilySecurityMatters.org, FamilySecurityMatters.org. One of the best minds in the country dealing with the subject of terrorism is the man you've just heard, Dr. Harvey Kushner. So I want you to bookmark FamilySecurityMatters.org. Check out them on a regular basis. Again, Dr. Kushner's a contributing editor. And also, get your copy of Holy War on the Home Front. Just don't read it before you go to bed because you'll have nightmares. Dr. Kushner, thank you. Always.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too, my friend. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. When we come back, speaking of Sharia law, we've got some very important elections coming up in Israel, March 28th. We'll talk about them right after this.